You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Christy Lee. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, Christy Lee here. And for Harrison Smith, we got a Patriot baby boom. We're all doing our part to make babies. The globalists want to kill the babies off. The demons. Well, you know, we can keep on making more. Are you doing your part to make babies? Make babies great again. Harrison just had his. We've had a bunch of other people pregnant up in here. I'm pregnant again. Didn't even mean to be. My goodness. These babies are going to be 13 months apart. I'm going to lose my mind. I did not want to be pregnant back to back, but here I am. And I believe it's because we're having a Patriot baby boom. Next generation here to save America. Make babies. Okay. Anyways, we've been talking about how the great replacement, we can be the great replacement, make those babies. But obviously, here it is, leading report, illegal immigration populations have increased by hundreds of percent in swing states during the Biden administration. This is how bad it is. Georgia, 401%. North Carolina, 446%. Pennsylvania, 241%. Oh my gosh. Arizona, 734%. Are you kidding me? This is how bad it is, guys. Guys, like, this is insane. And they call this a racist theory? No, this is happening. And, you know, as one of the callers said, they're in North Carolina. Well, if you're up in the mountains, you're a Trump supporter. Oh, sorry, you might not get your vote counted. But if you happen to be somebody that was shipped in and is probably looting, no need, because of the emergency, you don't need to show your ID or anything, or you don't need to show any proof of registration. Go ahead and vote. This is what it's all about, obviously. It's all coming back to that. You know what? Steven from Florida is infuriated with hurricane response criminals running. And we have a couple minutes. So, Steven, get your comment in.
Yeah. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning.
Okay. So here's the thing. If everybody remembers, Alex Jones many times, and I'm convinced this was directed weather weapons. Yes. That's what I want to refer to it as. It's like, there's a parallel with this situation in last year in Maui in Hawaii with direct energy weapons. They caused that fire, and then they sent people into that fire to kill them on purpose.
Yes.
To get that land. Okay, well, yep. Look at this situation. Dr. Bob Bowman, who was in the Star Wars project under Reagan, Alex interviewed him many times. He ran for Congress here in Florida. He's passed away since then. But he said they've had these weather weapons since at least the 60s. But if you look at the report that Greg Reese put out yesterday, I think it was, or a couple days ago, he shows this goes bound way back to 1947 with Project Cirrus. Okay, they've been doing this. They've directed, dry ice into the clouds. Now they have other, you know, metallic nanoparticle stuff in the HARP project, but they can change the direction. He showed this yesterday, Greg. They can change the direction of a hurricane that's going out to the Atlantic, and the first one they did this with, it ended up hitting Savannah, Georgia, back in the 40s, the late, and like your previous caller said, you know, Johnson, criminal Lyndon Baines Johnson, bragged about this. They've been doing this stuff for years. So here's my bottom line. These people caused this hurricane. It's basically, and by the way, Dane Wigington, geoengineeringwatch.org. Mike Adams has had him on many times. You guys need to get Dane Wigington on because he's probably the foremost authority about this. But what they do is they take a naturally a God-made storm and they will alter it because they play God just like they would do with everything else and change the course of it. So here's the bottom line. They sent this storm against these areas, North Florida, South and North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia and Virginia. Why? Because they're predominantly Trump voters.
Yep.
They want to kill these people. That's
absolutely
why I'm seeing reports of people, you know, posting online saying FEMA is arresting people now. They're trying to save these people.
Yeah, Stephen, we got to go to break. But that is the ultimate point. These people are evil. There is no doubt in my mind. They want to kill Trump supporters just as they've already tried to kill Trump twice. They want people to starve to death. They want them to suffer. But we're going to have more. We're going to have hope as well after this.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work for somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Christy Lee.
Welcome back. Christy Lee here filling in for Harrison. Congratulations to Harrison on his baby. We're making babies great again. We're the next generation. We're the great replacement theory, okay? Make them babies. These people are killing off their generations. It's up to us to have a Patriot boom. All right. All right. We want to remind you to support, of course, Alex Jones. I want to remind you of the verse of the day, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Stand on this verse, even in the darkest hour, even after, you know, Tina Peters, I talked about her earlier, being convicted. You know, all of this can be turned around because we're going to stand on and pray on God's word. We have tons of people that are taking 40 days. They're in the midst of their prayer and fasting right now. Pray to lift them up. If you're not able to fast right now, pray and can tell that they will continue to be strong. We need to repent and ask for God's grace to restore our land. It can happen. All of this can be turned around. We can get another pause, but it is gonna take everyone coming together to repent and plead on our knees for God to heal this land and give us a little bit more time to bring more people into his kingdom. So, central message of the day. Now, if you know a little bit about my background, you'll know that I'm a recovering propaganda puppet for the mainstream media machine, but I was able to break free from that, much to my dismay of finances and so many other struggles, but it is well worth it to be committed to the truth and to answer God's calling and purpose, constantly trying to seek that. Don't always know how I'm doing, but that is the goal. I'm so grateful. Truly, I could never have survived in the current structure of what journalism has become. It is laughable. It is so absurd. It is so brazen at this point. We saw that in the debates. A whistleblower even said and was sounding off that was all set up, that she was, in fact, given sample questions, which were the questions, that, of course, you know, Trump was fact-checked and they lied in the fact-checks about him. She didn't get any fact-checks. I mean, it was such a debacle. And then we had to see it all over again with some bitter, smug hags, two women moderators for these men in the Vance and Walls debate. And but I will say, I was ripping my hair out with the Trump debate. I'm like, come on, Trump, you're missing this opportunity. You're missing this opportunity. Like, come on. But Vance was better. That was encouraging. But there's even more coming out about that and how ridiculous and biased that was. So yes, certainly wouldn't. I don't know how these people hold their head up. I mean, this is just so absurd. How ridiculously biased. How they're just a Pravda arm of the government anymore. I mean, that's the thing that kills me, is one of the highest tenets of journalism is supposed to be being a voice for the voiceless, but we don't get to hear from them. They're censored. There's even more calls for censorship. Stupid Adam Schiff is calling on that again, as well as so many others. And then to hold those in power accountable, hold those in power accountable. And you do not see that. You see network, mainstream media just carrying the water for the government. I mean, for God's sakes, when it came to the whole pets being eaten in Haiti story, they said that was debunked because of a press release, because of an authority figure. When I first entered the business of journalism, they specifically told me, you know, it's always going to be easier to make your deadline to get like a city official or something on camera. But, you know, it's your responsibility, boots on the ground, talk to real people. We didn't even see that at the network level. I mean, that was just basic local news advice. But they can say like, hey, a city official says this isn't happening, so we're not even going to go and we're not even boots on the ground, talk to people, actual people, serve the public like the like journalists are supposed to do. It's just absolutely sickening. I'm getting off track. But here's another example. James O'Keefe now exposing what we already knew. MSNBC carrying the water. Just it should be MSDNC. Watch this little teaser for the next expose. Yes.
So do you feel like MSNBC is doing enough to help the Harris campaign?
I mean, they're doing all they can.
Meet Basil Hamden, a writer and producer for MSNBC's weekend show, Iman. Basil also reveals that, quote, what her message of the day is their MSNBC's message of the day.
What have they done to help the Harris campaign?
Amplify her message. What her message of the day is their message of the day.
Hamden revealed that MSNBC is the Democratic Party's mouthpiece and is doing anything to get Kamala elected. Hamden says this news network is indistinguishable from the Democratic Party.
So is MSNBC just like doing whatever it takes to get Kamala elected?
Yes, yes. It hammers home the point that I'm making, that this news network is indistinguishable from the party.
Are they just the Democratic Party's mouthpiece?
Exactly.
MSNBC is the Democratic Party's mouthpiece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basil calls MSNBC viewers brainwashed and states that MSNBC made their viewers dumber over the years.
Viewers get mad at the guests or the host if the host were to criticize Democrats. They've made their viewers dumber over the years. I think brainwashing and dumbing down.
It's bad.
Aggressive.
I get it.
Helps Trump.
When she's delivering these messages now, I think she keeps getting better.
Kamala Harris is telling the truth. The hate campaign against Kamala Harris has begun. They purposefully pronounce her name wrong.
But as a black woman, the product of a mixed marriage, she's an inspiration.
I don't know, Nicole, vote for her or don't vote for her. But isn't it great to just have a positive conversation right now?
Last week, we saw Vice President Kamala Harris's first mainstream media solo interview of her presidential run with MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle. Many people were stating how much of a softball interview it was. Here's a clip from that.
I just want to ask you yes or no. At any point in your life, have you served two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame seed bun, working at a
So stupid, so disgusting. It's absolutely insane. I don't know how these people have no shame. But, I mean, he's like laughing about it. Yeah, people are stupid. We're making them stupider. Yeah, we're another part of Kamala's, her press team. So funny. It's funny because people were saying, like, how have these people not realized by now that they're, if the conversation goes there and you're on a date with some random person that they're not being filmed, like, how are they not getting it? Here's why they don't get it. Because they're in their own elite Aryan bubble. They don't even see these videos. They don't even know that this is going on because they're so out of touch with reality. They're so out of touch with us and what we see that they don't know. They're just concerned with fulfilling their pleasures and they haven't caught on to how easy it is to expose them time and time again. James O'Keefe was supposed to be on with me this morning, but he isn't feeling well right now. So pray for him. Who knows, with all of the exposure that he is contributing to, he may be under some, I'm always suspicious, like I'm not feeling well. Have I been virus attacked right now? But yeah, I mean, we who knows anymore with what could happen. All right, let's go to Wild in Wisconsin, who wants to talk about this hurricane that we've been talking about.
Hey, Christy, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Yeah, long time no see. Congratulations on the baby. That's great news.
Thank you.
I'm a fan of Nikola Tesla, And in researching him, he's really big into the weather weapon stuff. I consider him the father of weather weaponry because he was talking about it in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And Jones talks about Doppler, and you had a caller before, and Jones also talks about cloud seeding with the silver iodine salt. But I think the biggest technology that's used for the weather control is using static electricity, because it's one of the main drivers of storms when you have water and air rushing against each other. And they'd make these giant tubes that are like 900 feet long by 100 feet wide, and rub cotton and leather on them for months to build up a static charge. And then they can discharge it all at once. And Nikola Tesla and Donald Trump's uncle were also involved in similar projects, where they were making them underground in a vacuum chamber, because the temperatures would get so hot that the ceramic connectors would explode. So they decided that the best place to put them was in space. And I'm convinced they have these suckers in space, because if you think about it, the ultimate weapon, not only to control food, where you could disrupt the weather and troop advances and really change also the conscious existence of, like, people living day to day. I'm convinced they're using weather weapons day to day just to control crime in the U.S. People are about 70% less likely to go outside and interact with other people if it's bad weather. Everybody knows that. And I just wish that people would wake up to the fact that such technology exists and has existed for a long time, because as you see with this, you know, hell Hurricane Helene, you know, they're literally killing people. And I think proof positive in the fact that it's weather control is that there is no response. The U.S. government could have helicopters there within hours, and they choose to let the people drown. So I don't know. I just wanted to kind of put that out there. If people research Nikola Tesla, it's super interesting stuff. He was even able to create ball lightning. And everyone knows with Nikola Tesla, he's infamous being around the Tesla coil, which is just radiating lightning. He would use storms to collect energy. And he could beam from one place, one laboratory, bouncing off the atmosphere, energy, great distances. He was able to go over the North Pole, and people independently saw a beam, glowing beam of energy in the air going over to Russia. And on Twitter, a similar thing was posted by a gentleman, where you can see this swath of air, probably about 5 miles wide, pointed at the hurricane, just glowing purplish pink. And according to what he says, they use a laser as a conduit to transmit electricity. I know it's kind of nerdy science stuff, but I thought it was
no, I find it very fascinating. And actually, I was just interviewing on one of my other shows, Troy Anderson. He is the author of Trump Code, and he was talking about some of these things as well. So definitely nerd out with that kind of stuff as well. It is truly fascinating, but ultimately, it's just astounding and shocking.
And he was a Christian.
Yeah. I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know that.
He was one of the only Christian scientists, and he said all his inventions came from God, and that he separated himself from the other people who were industrialists, J.P. Morgan, and other people who wanted to use his technology for bad, because they were godless.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm not going to let these people ruin my life work and use my technology for bad. And he was right. They totally did. They totally did.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you for your phone call. Need to move on to some other stuff. But thank you so much for your phone call. And that, yes, that is very fascinating. We are going to be speaking very soon with the producer and director of this movie, Kidnap and Kill an FBI Terror plot. If we have the trailer ready, I would like to play that just to get you ready for this important interview. I do want to ask William from Arkansas to stay on the line. I'm going to try and get to you here momentarily. But let's go ahead, if we can, play this trailer. We're going to be talking to the producer of this film.
And we go now to new developments in the plot to kidnap and kill Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
13 suspects arrested, including 7 alleged members of a right-wing militia group.
Who are preparing to kidnap and possibly kill me.
The defense claims the FBI, through undercover agents and informants, were behind the plan, and that Fox and Croft were duped into going along with it.
What the FBI did is unconscionable.
It's almost like they had their evidence, had their facts, and created the crime.
Let's get a plan together to attack our governors all at the same time.
We can cloud the water. We can send everybody into disarray and chaos.
He's the perfect chameleon. He knew exactly what to say, how to say it.
Dan Chapel was the driving force of it all.
He was there to lead. He was there to orchestrate.
I think he viewed us as an opportunity.
Everything here is a lie or a manipulation.
It's almost impossible to fathom how brazen, how bold, and how dangerous these individuals were.
Thank you to the fearless FBI agents.
Inside the takedown of the FBI agent who led one of the nation's biggest domestic terror investigations.
If you think of a synonym for patriots, think of terrorists.
You're seeing the exact same methodology being used without difference.
Everything about this case was a terrorism attack, I agree, by the FBI.
Unlimited power, unlimited money.
My biggest fear is being, you know, called a terrorist from the nation that I love.
Your entire life could be taken away from you for something you didn't do.
Such an important film. We can come out of this right now. Such an important film. We're going to be talking to the producer of this. You know, do not forget about this. You know, this is something that we have so much chaos going on that you may have forgotten about the whole fake Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping hoax. Do you guys remember that show? I think it was Too Close to Truth, because that's not the name, but I'm saying there was a show for a while, and it was about like basically these like lizard people aliens, and they were disguised, and there was the leader was a woman. I can't remember what show this was. It was years ago. Yes, I knew somebody would know. Just when they showed that clip of Gretchen Whitmer talking, and she was like so stoic, like robotically still, and like saying I was attacked, it totally reminded me of that main star in show V. I'm like, yeah, she probably is a flipping lizard person. But anyways, important topic, because they're trying to revive the January 6th hysteria. That was the other part of the debates that was really maddening for me, is in both debates they tried to ramp up this January 6th nonsense that is so many years old. We still don't have a report on it, for God's sakes. And they don't even mention the fact that our former president was nearly killed, an attempt on his life twice already. There's a whole Iran plot against him. That doesn't even get mentioned in the debate. Are you kidding me? This is someone's life, a former president that was shot at, hit in his ear. And it could have been so much different. We could have all watched his head blow up, but that wasn't big enough to talk about on the debate. Are you kidding me? We're going to revive and try and build up hysteria about something that happened way before that. It's just unbelievable to me. Just to hit real quick. Jack Smith is trying to coordinate with reviving this narrative by going against the Supreme Court immunity, ruling and continuing to power forward, and he releases this motion to argue that he was a private citizen then. And even the CBS News legal contributor said, yes, these allegations become public. No, it's not too different that it's detailed, because this is a response to the ruling from the Supreme Court that was fairly vague. But there is a level of detail that there is a level of detail that one doesn't normally see in motion filings. So even this legal contributor is kind of alluding to the fact that this could breach his right to a fair trial because this is all public and it's very detailed. And obviously it's because they want to build up this January 6th hysteria. Meanwhile, we still nearly 4 years later don't have the Inspector General report. It was alluded to in testimony that there was confidential human sources. We still don't know how many. And it's a game changer, undermines the establishment media narrative that they want to blame everything on Trump and act like this is the worst thing ever. And so Thomas Massey is calling for that before the election, because of course they're dragging that until after the election, but we'll see how that goes. All right, I want to go to William real quick before we go to break and hear from him.
Hello?
Yes. Hello. Thank you for waiting, William. Sorry it took so long to get to you.
Oh, no. Thank you for having my call. You're doing a good job. You're as informed as all the rest of them. You're the light side of Orrin Schroyer, for sure, and Alex. You know, I've only disagreed with one thing with a lot of the message that people want to put out, in the sense of you're going to have to pray. I'm a believer in a creator, but God didn't create this situation. He's not going to fix it. He's not the one with his hands on the big red button, right? There are premeditated individuals out there that need to be stopped. And that's just all there is to it. If we're going to talk biblically, there's a time for peace, love, war, time for strong wine, weak wine, right? And we're sitting here waiting on God, forgetting the one thing that he gave all humanity, free will. Mm-hmm. Free will is what's created for this. It's free will that signed the Declaration and the Constitution and the Magna Carta. And, you know, you can talk about any quest for freedom across the planet throughout history by any people. It's the same quest, right? And there's only one way you're going to get it, not asking for it. I'm not asking to be free. Every day, our backs get up against the wall, you know, and I'm sitting here as a soldier. I'm supposed to retire this month. You know, luck. I mean, I can. That's not the point. I look at everything that I've worked for and how I got it through the nation that provided the opportunity. And we're throwing that opportunity away. The young people, if you really understood what folks see has been taken from you, you'd be a lot angrier than you are. And anger is not going to fix it. Rash behavior is not going to fix it.
Well, William, I think you misinterpreted me, because I think we are in agreement. I think it's important to pray and ask for mercy and grace, but I certainly don't think we're just supposed to wait on God. We'll just watch and wait what you're doing. No, I do think that we are called, and we need to make sure we're in tune to see what we're in called to get in the game and see what he wants us to do. So I don't think we're too far off in that.
It's not so much of a disagreement with you and I, because we're talking to millions of people right now that are all being affected.
Yeah.
Right. We talk about this sleeping bear. Right now, there's something poking it. You better leave Cletus in the woods. Right. And these old boys that have been affected by this storm, and why and how, and I've got FEMA credentials. I could go into the specifics of why these search teams got to get rid of the non-professionals in there. Because they do screw up a lot of stuff in the way. You can't communicate. You just can't do it. If you want to be involved, get involved now with your local EMS groups. Get some certifications. They're all free on the FEMA line. You'd be surprised what you can do on there free. But Homeland Security will pay you to do. Pay for it. They won't pay you to do it. They'll pay for the training. Okay? So, but I'm on the side of when they're failed for any reason, right, you have to interject. Right now, everybody for the last 100 years or so has been waiting for the government to interject. We talk about this self-independence, self-sufficiency.
Yeah, well, William, sorry, I have to take this break, but thank you. The point is, pray, but don't just sit around and wait either. Get involved, and we do thank William for his phone call. We have Christina Urso after this, so don't miss it. We're talking about the dirty feds.
It's Friday, August 16th, 2024. The world is changing. The globalist system is now attacking humanity. As their programs come to an end.
The
look like ships, motorcycles, with the circuits like freeways. I kept dreaming of the world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.
I'm your host, Alex Jones. Dr. Kirk Elliott, a good friend of mine, really smart guy, is our guest. And I'm just going to put this right up front. If I owned a restaurant, I would want to have the best, most delicious, healthy food at the most affordable prices where I got the biggest crowds in. So you had a great experience. You want to come back 100 times and I make money and I'm successful. You have a great time. You get treated right. I get treated right. That's a community. So let's say it again. People really responded to this truth. I've been on there 30 years. I've had gold sponsors for 28 years as sponsors. Only two companies, because if you want a numismatic, they'd sell it to you, but they would try to sell you gold and silver bullion with, you know, 10% markup or whatever to pay their bills and do it. And that's very fair. You barely do it. I don't know how Kirk does it at 8% with his crew and his everything and the quality and the marketing, but he does it. So he's paying for marketing and running his crew and doing all this stuff for 8% and no charge to sell it back. Everybody else does that. It's such a good deal. It's very frustrating. I know we have millions of people watching every hour, and a lot of folks are calling. He's getting thousands of calls when he comes on. That's great. But it needs to be tens of thousands of calls. I mean, this is so simple. In a world of fiat, you at least want to have a hedge that's in silver and gold. And if you look at what's happening, I am only going to try to push something that I believe I would personally do, and that I personally do. I mean, it's real simple. Do unto those who would do unto you. That's the golden rule. And Christ said, actually, you need to go further, lay your life down for others. But when everybody's like that, you live in a great society because nobody's really having any problems. Everybody's a badass. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. So it is a no-brainer to call them, do a consultation, and get into silver right now. And if you want some gold, you know, maybe get an 80% silver, get some gold. But I think he's dead on. I know. You would be all silver. That's what's going to go up, obviously. That's what's undervalued. Then you get the gold once it skyrockets, which is already happening. So you need to go to KEPM.com/gold. That's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. KEPM.com/gold. And then InfoWars is the support. Or you can call 720-605-3900. And listen, if enough of you went there, because he does a sponsorship off of what percentage he gets, we could get reporters back, expand, do anything. I mean, already we would not be on air right now if it wasn't for his sponsorship. He takes us over the top to be in the black. Not much, but a little bit. And so I appreciate the crew staying with us through all this hell. It's been wild. We're still here by the grace of God, but you need to support this sponsor. It supports what we're doing. Plus, it's the best deal, the best company, the highest ratings. It's so simple. Call him now, 720-605-3900.
It's Friday, October 4th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Christy Lee. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Christy Lee here. I'm so happy to be back. So happy to be talking to all of you. I've missed you. I truly have missed the InfoWars audience. You're so loyal. You're so dedicated. You're so passionate. You're so loving and supportive. I just love you. Virtual hug. Verse of the day. I want to go over that again is Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Pray, and we will see and can stand on God's promises and his word. And we pray that over Alex. We pray that over Tina Peters, who was just sentenced to 9 years. We pray that over the January Sixers. And, speaking of January Sixers, they're trying to revive that hysteria just in time for the election. And so this next story is so relevant. As long as they're going to revive that, you know what? We're going to revive this. We're going to revive the hoax that was perpetrated. That was the, I think, dry run for January 6th, essentially. So we're going to be talking to our special guest here in a moment. Want to remind you that, again, I love talking to you guys. So continue to call. There are long hold times sometimes when that happens. And so stand by, listen to the show, hang out until I can get to you. But I will try and get to you when I can. And again, that number is 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. All right, so we are going to be talking to Christina Urso. So here's who Christina Urso is. She's an independent journalist and director and producer of Kidnap and Kill, an FBI terror plot, and she's actually raising money to finish this important documentary, and we want to make sure that she does get this finished and out, because I think it plays into what they're trying to do with January 6th. They're trying to revive that, make that a thing, of course, just in time for the election. Jack Smith's recent filing served no other purpose than to try and defame Trump just before the election. These people are vicious, they're cruel, and we need to expose just how vicious and cruel they are. And again, stand on God's word that they may be suffering right now, but you know, dawn is coming. And so I want to go ahead and welcome in Christina Urso. I thank you so much for working on this. I thank you so much for being here. And I'm excited to talk to you about this, because it's one of those things that I think they've been successfully able to memory hole a bit. But this is even more important than ever right now, right?
Yes, I believe so. Thank you so much for having me on. And you're absolutely correct. This story was, in my opinion, the October surprise back in 2020. It was used to influence and sway that election. And here we are 4 years later. We're at October. We're almost to the day. 3 days from today, these men were arrested, which is insane. And you're right. It, in my opinion, was the dry run for January 6th. And we can talk about that. But it's a massive story. I mean, there's 14 guys who were arrested. There are 20 different unindicted co-conspirators. It's a massive case. There were four trials and many people forgot about it.
And we don't want to forget about those that are still suffering and behind bars because of it. I mean, it's atrocious when you really dig into this. And because I failed to mention it before, this is also being aired on Patriot.TV. Patriot.TV, it's a show I have counter-narrative there on Patriot.TV, which runs on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, which today is Friday, at 1 p.m. Eastern. So this is a double whammy here, where I'm here on InfoWars, but I'm also going to be there on Patriot.TV for counter-narrative. So just wanted to quickly mention that. I do want to, first of all, like something that I think that a lot of people still don't realize is that it's my understanding that the majority of those accused were actually the infiltrators, right? I mean, is my understanding on that correct?
Well, so it's a big story, but what I will say is that the FBI used a network of 12 informants and two undercover agents to manufacture the appearance of a crime where there really wasn't one. So the entire thing was basically orchestrated by the FBI. To make a long story very short, the FBI infiltrated a prepping group, turned it into a militia, had their informant basically as the leader of the group, took it over. The FBI created a fake national militia group called the Patriot 3%ers. And they also had informants posing as heads of state chapters. And they were trying to orchestrate what they wanted to be a multi-state domestic terror plot to kidnap multiple governors at the same time, which is insane.
Oh my God, thank God
it didn't happen. But that's what they wanted to do. That was their goal. That was their plan. The FBI organized militia meetings in the lead up to 2020, to the election. They were calling these meetings and basically inviting people that they profiled online that they were targeting. They put them in a room with informants who were saying provocative things and just recorded them. The FBI put on what they call field training exercises. These are the kind of events militia groups do all the time, where they do perfectly legal defensive and medical training. And of course, the FBI put these events on and then filmed these guys basically running through obstacle courses they created, and then used inflammatory speech to make the case that there was some kind of conspiracy to kidnap Whitmer, which wasn't the case at all. The only conspiracy was on the part of the FBI agents who organized the entire thing. And to touch on Whitmer's role in this, she actually she was part of planning and organizing the so-called recon of her own vacation cottage. Like, she picked the date and time, and the FBI picked some guys up. They didn't know where they were going, and they drove them up by her house while the FBI filmed it.
So, of course, this evil witch.
It's a complete setup. She was never in any danger. She was kept apprised of the investigation. She knew more about it than the guys that they accused of conspiring to do it. And to talk about the connection to January 6th, because I think this is so important and kind of key for your audience to understand. You can't understand what happened on January 6th if you don't know what the FBI was doing prior to that. In the lead up to it in 2020, they were organizing these militia meetings. They were putting on these training exercises for different groups. And then they claimed that groups like the 3%ers were dangerous on January 6th. And it's like, well, wait a second. All of these groups had been heavily infiltrated by your informants years prior. The vice president of the Oath Keepers turned out to be a longtime FBI informant. So this is very serious. And the main agent in charge, the agent who was head of the Detroit field office overseeing this investigation during 2020, is a man named Stephen D'Antuono. 1 week after these men were arrested in October of 2020, he's promoted by Christopher Wray to be the guy in charge of D.C. on January 6th. He was made the assistant director of the D.C. field office. And why there's the connection here is people forget that during the spring of 2020, there were these anti-lockdown rallies that were happening. And one of them happened at the Michigan Capitol. And the FBI had already infiltrated a group called the Wolverine Watchmen. They had their informant there as basically the leader, brought a group of these guys there in full kits. They went through COVID screening, but the media presented it as the guys stormed the state capitol. And so there's these pictures of them inside the capitol. And what people don't know is that the FBI was overseeing the entire thing. They had their agents in a mobile command center watching it. Their agents called the Lansing Capitol Police and told them, stand down, open the doors, and let everybody in so that the FBI could get this photo op that they could use to seed this narrative about these groups that we're going to be storming capitals. And people need to understand that. We have found incredible evidence. Yeah, there's the picture of them inside that where the FBI led them there, told the Capitol Police, let them in. These guys did nothing. They stood in line for COVID screening for an hour. They occupied the building. They peacefully protested and then left after 4 hours. But the narrative was right-wing domestic terror group storming the Capitol on Trump's orders, right? Because Trump said, stand back and stand by. And he had tweeted out, liberate Michigan, liberate Virginia, and a couple other states. And it's interesting that those were all the states that the FBI had targets in to try to get this multi-state plot off the ground that never got off the ground. It just really was nothing.
You know, you shared a video on your channel, and it was from Brandon Caserta, and he was talking about different elements of this, you know, and again, he is someone who spent 18 months in prison and had his life ruined because of all this. But he talks about how in discovery, you can even find in discovery, these feds texting to each other being like, we can't get them to plan anything. like they're not actually doing anything. Like yet when it came time to convict, like they were able to just somehow be like, oh, there was planning. And then he also pointed out something interesting in that video about how they were convicted and pointed out in the documents that there was these organizations formed, but every single organization was named and formed by the feds. And then the other bullet point of this that is also interesting is they blatantly violated their own code of ethics and their own rules and procedures, because it says in their documents that they're not supposed to introduce like drugs or alcohol, but that's how they were able to convict some of these guys, is they literally brought them weed and got them high and waited for them to say something stupid. Like how on earth drove them around
to excursions across the country, giving them marijuana and alcohol. saying, you know, hypothetically speaking, what would you do in this kind of scenario, recording the response, playing that out of context in court. And what happened during these trials, and you know, many people don't know this, is that they were prevented from introducing many exculpatory evidence like that. They were prevented from introducing the evidence of the misconduct of all three of the handling agents. So if you can't introduce evidence, every single witness they tried to call, the government said, you're an unindicted co-conspirator. And if you testify, you may be charged. You know, you're under investigation. That's called witness intimidation and witness tampering. So they were able to prevent them from introducing evidence. They weren't allowed to call witnesses. The government lost the first trial, by the way. They had zero convictions. Brandon was acquitted. Daniel Harris was acquitted. And there was a mistrial on Adam and Barry. So the government, you know, being completely embarrassed, they have a 99% conviction rate when the defense is entrapment. They usually win. So them losing was a big deal. They had to retry Adam and Barry in this hasty retrial where, again, they couldn't introduce evidence. They couldn't call witnesses. But then the government, well, the courts, took the additional step of putting time limits on the defense to cross-examine the key guys who took plea deals. But they didn't put time limits on the prosecutors. So this issue, these men are trying to appeal their wrongful convictions. That issue is at the Sixth Circuit right now. We're waiting for a ruling from the Sixth Circuit that hopefully Adam and Barry will get a new trial. And for the state guys, it was even worse. For their trial, they weren't allowed to mention that two men had been acquitted. The government could say and show videos of Daniel and Brandon, but the defense couldn't say, hey, those guys you just saw a video of, they were acquitted. It's stunning to me how that can happen. And then we call this a fair trial. It's just disgusting what is done and what continues to be done to these men. Five of them are still in prison right now. Adam and Barry are at Florence Supermax. Barry is a father of four. This is shameful. And people really don't know the full story of the Michigan case. They don't know that it was bigger than Michigan. It wasn't just about Michigan. It was about painting a narrative in the lead up to the election. It was about swaying the election, but trying to get this multi-state plot off the ground, which is just insane. And the FBI shouldn't be allowed to do these things.
And so how did they get away with that? I mean, who can we point the finger at in terms of, is it just because so many of these courts are captured that they're able to set these unreasonable rules and just completely have it be against the defendants?
Yeah, and this is many of the J6 defendants are experiencing the same thing, where the government is basically running your trial. They are the ones. You have to trust that they're going to give you all of your Brady material, so all of the exculpatory information. Well, for J6ers, many of that information, they're not even getting until after they were convicted or after their trial. Why are they not getting crucial evidence they're supposed to have? And the courts are terrified, I'll tell you, of the federal government. They're scared of the FBI. They're scared to go up against, you know, these people. And for judges in Michigan, you think they're going to go against the governor of their state? They're going to rule against her? She got to deliver Gretchen Whitmer a 3-minute long, highly prejudicial victim impact statement for the guys that were charged at the state level in Jackson County. And in this statement, she talks about how she always fears for her life. Well, she put her book out and admits in the book, never has she ever feared for her life. So she just lies and gets away with it. They allow these agents to come in and commit perjury on the stand. Nothing is ever done about it. It's not pursued. The FBI themselves are never held accountable. So it's very dark, and it doesn't bode well for our country right now. People need to know what happened. I think that's why getting films like this out is so crucial, because the media lies about this stuff too. These men were convicted in the court of public opinion on day one before any of the discovery had come in. The media framed these men as white supremacist, right-wing domestic terrorists.
So many of the things that you're saying, it sounds like they should just be automatic grounds for mistrial. You know, the fact that the jury was predisposed to see them as terrorists before their trial even started. And the fact that they didn't get the evidence that they were supposed to get. I mean, it seems like that's grounds for a mistrial, but ultimately, who decides that? And that's why they can't get the mistrial, because they're corrupted as well?
well, we're waiting on the Sixth Circuit. And the Sixth Circuit, so they asked for briefings were held, oral arguments were held on Adam and Barry's appeal back in May. They asked for additional briefings in, I believe, June or July about if we allowed in the exculpatory evidence. So this is all of the evidence of literally the informants planning the whole thing. There's text messages between the handling agents and the informants literally telling them, invite this person, try to bring this person. Oh, that person's leaving the group. You got to bring him back in, convince everybody that they have good ideas. Like literally all of that evidence that the Sixth Circuit is asking, if that evidence was allowed to be presented, would that have changed the outcome of the trial? We know the answer is yes, because that first trial ended in zero convictions for the government and a mistrial on Adam and Barry. They were very close to acquitting Adam and Barry. Had they been able to actually see all of the evidence, these men wouldn't be in jail. So right now, my concern is that the Sixth Circuit is being political right now during an election time. They don't want to give the ruling that we all know they're going to give. They wouldn't be waiting to give a ruling if they weren't going to give these guys a new trial. I believe they're waiting until after the election, and the courts should not be politicized. Justice is supposed to be blind, meaning these innocent men sitting in prison away from their children should not have to wait until after an election for the Sixth Circuit to give a proper ruling on this. And then the men at the state level who were tried to try to make this brief, I know we don't have a lot of time, but those men were charged with providing material support to gang affiliation and felony firearms. How do you provide material support to the FBI's fake plot? Well, you allowed somebody to do medical training on your property, or you taught somebody how to tie a tourniquet. Did you just provide material support to a plot? It's ridiculous on its face. The gang affiliation, they now claim, and this is for, I want everybody to listen to this. If you are five or more people and you have similar beliefs in your maybe shooting guns in your backyard, the government can now call you a gang and charge you as a gang. This also means, by the way, that like little clubs or groups, now you can be considered a gang if the government wants to go after you for fake conspiracy charges. They've also used this case to try to push through legislation they have pending now called the Preventing Private Paramilitary Activity Act of 2024, which is essentially trying to criminalize regular people doing defensive and medical firearms training themselves, which is ridiculous. But that's where we are. And so these men who were charged at the state level, they were, again, not allowed to present evidence after they were convicted on the eve of their appeals. These men have not been charged federally. The Michigan Department of Corrections ships them to federal BOP facilities across the country. They sent one to Pekin, Illinois, one to Schuylkill, Pennsylvania, one to FCI Gilmer in West Virginia. Why are these men being shipped there? Well, they needed to cut off communication with their lawyers. They needed to delay their appeals, prevent them from having access to a Michigan law library to prepare for their defense. Their attorneys have shown that they're supposed to be attorney-client privileged phone calls have been monitored by a third party. Gee, who could that be? The FBI, mm-hmm. I would venture to guess. And so this is tampering in these men's appeals. It took 11 months for us to get them back to the state of Michigan. And we find out that there's emails showing that the MDOC moved these men before they had done a security review. And they moved them, they claim, because of what they wanted to do to our supervisor. Their supervisor is Whitmer. She's the head of the MDOC. And the person who signed off on the transfer orders is just three steps below her. Was this woman trying to curry favor by moving these men out and interfering in their appeals? Why haven't their appeals even started yet, 1 year after they were supposed to begin? And we're just getting them back now? I'm sorry, I don't have faith in the Michigan court system at all. I don't think they should even have the ability to adjudicate this case because I think they're just so prejudiced against it just because Whitmer is the governor. I just think it's insane. So these men, they believe that their only hope to get justice is for their story to get out. They hadn't had a chance to tell their story. They were told not, they didn't need to testify at trial. Their public defenders, in my opinion, walk them into lengthy prison sentences, and they could be incarcerated until 2063.
That's insane. That is so insane. And so I only have about 4 minutes left with you, but I want to remind folks that the least that we can do is get their story out since they weren't able to basically get their story out in court. And you need to finish this documentary in its totality and get it out. You're fundraising for that. Where do they do that at?
You can support the film. You can find the trailer, and you can find information also on how to write to the guys and help them and their families on our website. It is kandkfilm.com, the letter K. The documentary obviously is called Kidnap and Kill, an FBI terror plot. So I didn't want to buy a domain of like kidnapandkill.com, because if I'm not on a list, like I would be then. So right. I just did the letters kandkfilm.com. From there, you'll be able to find ways to support the documentary, which is crucial because these men don't have 3 years to wait for me to like raise the funds. We need to get this out now. We need to meet our fundraising goal. And if we do meet that funding goal, that gives me the ability, it empowers me to hire the people I need to just get this out as quickly as possible. And I think that's what these men deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this. If Trump is able to get in, does he have the power to forgive them? Or has there been any talk about that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. If President Trump is listening, you know, or anybody on his team is listening, I know he's talked about similar things for the January Sixers. Right. I don't want the Michigan men to be forgotten. Yes. They are connected to the January 6th couldn't have happened without this Whitmer hoax case.
It's all connected.
These men shouldn't be forgotten. Trump has the ability. He could pardon Adam and bury the men charged federally. But unfortunately, the guys charged at the state level, he wouldn't have the ability to help them. So we need to help them. And we do that by getting their stories out. And also, one thing I want to add to is that some of these men were veterans. Daniel Harris was a Marine. He served our country. He came back. And this is what our government did to him. They tried to take away his freedom and destroy his life. He was just 24 years old. Paul Beller was in the Army. He was 20 years old when he was arrested. He just turned 25 in prison. These are people who served our country, our veterans. They come back and our government wants to frame them as terrorists. We can't allow that to happen in this country. It's shameful and it's disgusting. And it's even more shameful that we have a weaponization committee who has done nothing to look into January 6th or this case.
Yeah, that's
and shame on them.
That's
for that.
Just it's sick. It's truly sick. We have to do whatever we can to make a difference. I mean, and then I covered earlier that Thomas Massie is calling for the release of the January 6th Inspector General report because, of course, they want to hold that off until after the election. In testimony, he inferred that there were confidential human sources present, but he didn't have the number in front of him. So, I mean, it's a confirmation that this was essentially a continuation of what they had practiced with the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping hoax. And I mean, that's truly telling what you mentioned earlier about the person in charge of the FBI in the kidnapping was then promoted just before, you know, the January 6th thing went. I mean, like, that's
yeah, and then he participates in the raid in Mar-a-Lago, and then he leaves the FBI altogether right after being promoted to head of the DC field office. Come on, guys. That's a little bit weird. Also, one thing to add, you mentioned Thomas Massie looking into the number of informants. There is still information in the Whitmer case that is kept under protective seal. They won't release it. They're hiding. They don't want people to know the full extent of what the government did and how bad it was. They need to unseal the discovery also. There's no reason to keep this stuff under protective seal. All of the cases have been adjudicated. We're just waiting on 5 appeals now. That's no reason not to release this stuff. All of the men, all of the defendants, they want it released. They're saying unseal it. We want everybody to see it.
Hey, Christina, I got to go, but where should we go? What's the website?
KandKfilm.com. Thank you so much.
KandKfilm.com. You're going to find all the information there. Get acquainted with it. Support her work. So important. It's all connected, folks. We'll be back after this.
Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 40% off, even though it's our number one bestseller. All the vitamins, all the minerals, all of the amino acids, everything you need that's essential. And let me tell you what essential means. You need air, you die in 4 minutes without it. You need water, you die in 5 days without it. You need food, you die on average in a month without it. Because what's in the food? The vitamins and the minerals and the amino acids. This has everything that's essential. All the vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. Tastes great. Concentrate. Put a little scoop in a pitcher of water. Take it to work with you. Drink it morning, noon, and night. Give it to your kids, your neighbors. Really important for old folks because their guts don't absorb as much. Vitamin Mineral Fusion sells all day at full price. It is 40% off as part of the sale going right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And then discounts right now on full spectrum CBD gummies, super strong, lowers inflammation. So good for your whole body and so good for mental relaxed clarity. It's not a sedative, but it's like you're awake, but you're relaxed. The gummies are incredible. I like to take them before I go to bed at night. And then on top of that, we have the 1,000 milligram CBD under the InfoWars MD label that is private label, again, by the same top folks, ladies and gentlemen. They sell it for $45 more on average than we do, and their competitors for even more. 1,000 milligram real full-spectrum CBD is sold at elite shops and at doctor's offices for $150 all day long. It's a good deal if you get it for $60-$70, and that's what we're selling it for. In fact, it's an insanely good deal. You can't really find anybody else selling high quality at that price. So, full spectrum CBD at InfoWarsStore.com in the gummies and the liquid tincture, and so many other great products at InfoWarsStore.com, or call toll free 888-253-3139. Get your vitamin mineral fusion. Check out the InfoWars MD line and more at InfoWarsStore.com, and I thank you all for your support.